I feel that I have a few thoughts on my heart this morning. And it's been quite an experience to me. Normally, before I lost my sight, we, you know, like most preachers do, jot a few notes down here and there. I can't do that anymore. And I have to wait till the Lord visit me and talk to me. But I desire your eyes, you that have your Bible, to help me out with the reading. But living for God is serious. And I believe that in the lessons that the Lord has been helping us with, we're learning more and more. I do believe that the gospel is supposed to change a man. It's supposed to change his way of thinking. Change his way of living. And many times, I don't know, it seems like that if we allow the gospel to work in us and for us, it will help us. I thought about the time of the journey into the Canaan land was just a few days, but it took 40 years. And you often wonder sometimes, why did it take so long? And it makes us think, if God wasn't as patient as He is, we'd be falling out. I mean, He waits until we make up our minds to do it. Now think about that. God Almighty, He got to wait till we make up our mind to do something that He knows is right. But yet, He's there. He waits. And to a point in time that just like the waiting period just goes away. Some folks just seem like don't ever get it. But the gospel is serious to me. And I appreciate your prayers. I think of a little scripture. I think it's over in Ecclesiastes, maybe 2 and 15. Maybe someone can get that. I think that's probably where it is. I don't know. If it's not, we'll find it because I know it's in there. Speaks about the little foxes. Maybe you can read that. 14, 15, somewhere around. We're going to talk a little bit this morning.
Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15.
Yes, Song of Solomon, I'm sorry.
Take us the foxes.
Take us the little foxes.
That spoil the vine.
That spoil the vine.
For our vines have tender grapes.
You know, I never figured it all out. How people grow grapes. And I'm not a grape grower. But I did a little planting mustard greens and collard greens, little okra. And I know how that works. And it's something about the insects, how they operate. Do you know in your garden, when you plant your garden, those of you have planted gardens before, when the plant is tender and begin to grow, you begin to see the bugs. You may not see the bug with your little eye, but you see the effect of what the bug do. When your greens and things begin to get little holes in them, you know something is happening. And then the quick thought hits your mind to go down to the hardware and get you some seven dust. You dust it all down and there go the birds. Lord help us. Now the grapevine, for an instance. You get an old grapevine that's there that's been and rooted and got caught right down in the ground. It seemed like the bugs can't deal with that. Because it's old and tough. But then the little young ones that come along seem like the insects attack that much quicker. Tender. Got something they can eat on. Got something they can work with. help you and I this morning. My thinking this morning is the little no harm things. You know, there are things that we look at and we said, oh, it's no harm for that. And I thought about something the brother said the other morning, how movement after movement gotten away from God because of no harm things. It didn't take off as some big, large thing that just took over, but little bitty things. A little slip of this, and a little wearing of that, and a little doing with this. Oh, it's no harm. They won't pay attention to it. And then the preacher come along and try to preach the Word of God, and many times they tell me now, he said one thing, brother, when you preach, they can't say you saw it. You get to preaching now and say you didn't see it. They can't say you preaching by observation. I don't have to preach by observation. I know how the enemy works among the people. Little things that don't mean much at all. Little things that's just you just look over that. Why are you making a big deal about that? Why do we make a big deal about modesty? Why, folks said, why can't you just let us alone and preach the gospel? We're preaching the gospel. That's part of the gospel, don't you know? And the little no harm thing. Had a sister. And she lived down in New Orleans. And so I came to visit her one day. And she said, hold it. I stopped at the door. She said, wait until I catch my pet snake. I said, what? Wait until you catch what? She said, oh, my snake is loose in the house and I got to go catch him, so I don't want him to get out. I said, sis, I'll see you later. She said, what's the matter? You're not coming back? I said, honey, something is wrong with a person that grow a snake in their house. But it's no harm. It is not. I'll see you later. You growing a snake in your house, and you going to tell me it's no harm? Something wrong with that. See how folks in our society look at things? They begin to go from the little small things to the bigger things. Now, you going to tell me you brought a boy in your house and it's no harm? Oh, he's my friend. Something wrong with you. Something wrong with your head. Most people get killed today with an unloaded gun. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's nothing wrong. It's nothing in it. Oh, and when they get killed, the first thing to say, oh, I didn't know it was loaded. Do you know that's what happened in our society? Before we realize what's happening, it had overtaken us. It has overtaken us. Take us, the little foxes. The devil don't come in and begin to just knock you all out at one time, but he takes a little at a time. He doesn't care if it takes 15 years to get you to backslide. He's after you, and he'll do it. And what we do, we come around, and we say, oh, it's no harm to wear this. Oh, it's no, and you can have the teachings. Do you know when you and I get the teaching, it seems like it's hard to abide by the teaching, but we'll always run to the little no harm thing. Oh, I believe they just too fanatical about the things they're doing. Are we? Are we too fanatical? Do we know what history brings out as they run out the other day and in this meeting? How movements and moved and got away. How God started something with a movement, hoping that it would go on, but somewhere down the line they got off track. What would hinder you? What makes you and I think that we're going to stay on target if we don't stay humble before God? They say something about that in the Bible. Because you were grafted in, don't think you were so much better. But because of disbelief, they were shut off. And right through here, you and I are going to have to recognize and get a hold of it. The little no-harm things is the things that really cause us problems. No harm. Oh, it's no harm. It's only prayer service. You know that, don't you? Your preachers know what I'm talking about. It's no harm to miss prayer service. Well, it's just only prayer. That is the main time when God comes down and smelling our similes and begin to bless you and I because of visitation from God when we connect with prayer. Oh, it's just prayer. We're dealing with situations where people need healing to their bodies. We're dealing with situations where God, we want God to smell in our assemblies. We want God to bless us. And you and I are going to have to be down fervent with this thing down in our soul. This is not a game we play. This is real. And when you and I connect with God, we want to be on the same page. So it's not just only prayer service. And you know what happens in prayer service time? When we come together, you can start prayer service at 7:30 and you're about gone for 8 o'clock. You may have 10 to 15 folks there and maybe two praying. Well, we'd agree with it, brother. We come to prayer service. Let's open our hearts to God. Let's get a hold of the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do here? I thought about it, and I think about it even more. When you and I comes in the presence of God, how do we come? Is it just, oh, I got to go to service. It's just a duty. Oh, no. This thing is real. I've never in my life ran into anything as real as this. Real. And I enjoy it. You die young, but bless God. Take us to little foxes. It's no harm. Somebody go over there and the writer of Judges over there and pick up the thought about Samson over there. Many times we hear it, and every time I was listening to a tape the other night, and he began to read the Bible tape over there, began to read Samson to me. It seemed like all together it began to work with my mind again. Little things that don't seem to be any harm, that's the thing that kills us. That's the thing that causes you and I to get away from God. No harm thing. Yes, that's right. All right, you get that over there with Samson when his parents told him not to go down and marry somebody out of the faith there, but get somebody among his own people?
And Samson went down to Timnath.
And Samson went down to Timnath, read. And saw a woman. All right.
Of the daughters of the Philistines.
All right.
And he came up and told his father.
He came up and told his father.
And his mother.
And his mother.
And said, I've seen a woman in Timnath.
I've seen a woman in Timnath. It's no harm. Lord help you and I. Sometimes we see too much. And it causes the flesh to reach out at things that we ought not to be touching. When the flesh begin to reach out at this world and what the world has to offer, if we don't have something down inside of us to rebuke that thing, we will reach out for it. I seen a woman. Boy, the women folk get a lot of blame down here, didn't they? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Well, I didn't make you, God did. And I have to say, we get into trouble when we get away from God. But read, listen here.
Now therefore, get her
for me to wife.
Then his father and his mother said unto him.
All right, listen at the proof.
Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren?
I mean, is there never a woman against her? Listen, I've heard young folks, and I hear people today, they go a long life way, and they say, oh, it's nobody among the saints from me. They want to go out and try to pick one off the street and bring him in and save him and get him right and sanctify, then marry. Folks, we having trouble right through here. We having trouble with these marriages. Marriage not long ago, I heard somebody said that the young man told his fiance that he was going to marry. He said, I want you to come up here 2 weeks before we get married and I want you to get a job because I can't support you. What are you marrying for? Oh, he's good looking. You see what I'm talking about? Oh, it's no harm. I'd rather suffer that because he looks so good. He's that good looking. Something wrong with you. You understand? He's already stated, I can't support you. He's already stated you need a job. Now, if you can't support me, what you going to do with the children?
Amen.
Society has dictated to us that the average family is 0-3. Over 3, you're getting into trouble. So society have dictated to us, oh, it's no harm now. 3 is a nice family. That'd be 5. You, mom, and the 3 children. So society have dictated to us how many children to have now. Getting pretty quiet on this one here. Hello. Still with me? Yes, he dictated to us as to anything over this number, you're going to have problems. You can't be able to raise them. You won't be able to take care of them. It's no harm just to have a few. I saw a woman that I want you to get me to wife. Did you pray through for her, Samson? Oh, I just saw her and I wanted her. Now go get her. Now who gonna argue with Mr. Sampson? You? Read on.
Then his father and his mother said unto him,
right.
Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine?
Read on.
And Samson said unto his father, get her for me.
Do
for
it.
Well.
She pleases me well. You know it's a lot of things to please the flesh that's not pleasing to God. And those things that please the flesh, you know it's hard for us to turn them loose. Those are the very things we hang on to. They're hard to turn loose. Why? It pleases me. I love it. I want it. You know, right through here, you might have heard me say many times, wives, we need solid sisters that's going to stand behind their man in God and support him. Not to change his mind. Not when God say, you go this way, and she say, no, we going this way. I often says, I don't know whether to call it a gift or what you want to call it. But women has that ability to know how to change a man's mind. Hello, talk to me, y'all. A man can say, I'm not doing it. Don't bother me no more, honey, about this. And she put on her, I don't know, she put on her gift. You listen now, do you notice this is true? She put on her gift, and she knows how to get it. Glory, hallelujah. And look like we men, we're so staunch and so hard, and yet we melt. Adam didn't have no problem eating what God told him not to eat. God said, don't do it. Don't you touch it, lest you die. But Eve went over and got hooked up, and she come and said, honey, take some of this. And the Bible said, he did eat. No argument. No trying to look into the matter. But he did eat. I've said many times, I say it again. My wife wanted to buy a car. And she wanted a real. And I didn't want no ring. Since I'm working, buying a car, we can kind of get together, but I just didn't want no two little ring. So she set out. Monday, all my bath water was ready. My slippers was in place. My robe was hanging in the right place. Tuesday, sweet potato pies. My best meal. amazing. Oh, she would scratch my head, my back, rub my feet. And I wasn't not looking at, what do you want? I was just enjoying it. Oh, yes. This is nice. Oh, sisters, it's no harm to do this to your husband. That's your husband. It's a lot of harm to get him to go against what God may be calling him to do. And the devil can use the women folks to do that. And then after a while, we ask ourselves, how did I get here? What do you mean? How did you get here? Wasn't paying attention, were you? See what I'm talking about? Thursday. Oh, the walls came down. Friday, I hollered, oh, get the ring on, get it. Get it. You done treat me so nice, I can't say no. Little no harm things. Little things that cause you and I to disobey God. The ministry already have a problem. Seems like the minister's children ought to be the best children in the world. But it's not so. And many times in dealing with our children, we got to deal with mama first. Hello? Don't leave me now. Stay right with me. We have to deal with mama first. And do you know, when we have women folks in our society today that do not show the humility and the submissiveness to God and to their husband, what happens? That child grows up just like that. See, it's no harm. I don't have to submit if I don't want to. I can tell you how I feel about this thing, too. But every time that transpires, you watch those children that are growing up under that. They will be a carbon copy of you and I. Many times, that's what really hurts us when we look at our children and we get hurt. But what we're looking at ourselves. Or what we were. And you know something? They go a little bit farther than what you and I went. Now, you put on a little something that's different than what the Scripture teaches, or you do something different than what the Scripture teaches, and you watch them. When they see you're not coming under subjection and working with that thing, it's no harm. I don't see no harm in this. Why do they preach? These preachers are something else. They want to preach this off you, preach this on you, preach this in you. But I often say it, I don't come in a lot of places to deal with folks' head, their feet, I deal with their heart. That's where the problem lies. In the heart. Yeah, the Scripture teaches about these things, and I don't disagree with preaching on things. But you know where the problem really lies? It lies in the heart. You get somebody loving God, you ain't got to pump them and prime them and drag them. They are worried you to death. Brother, what about you? Brother, I got this. Ooh, wait a minute. Can you give me a little break? No. No harm thing, see? Samson went on down, and when he met this woman, read, let's get on down here a little bit. We know the story, but I want to bring something to our attention.
But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord.
Read on.
And he sought an occasion against the Philistines.
All right.
For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyard of Timnath.
Okay.
And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done.
Let's redeem a little time. Here, once he did that, he put forth a riddle. He put forth a riddle to the people, but they figured the riddle out. How did they do it? Through who? It went through his wife, didn't it? To get to Samson. Let's learn a lesson here. The devil is not sleeping. And the devil trying to come against the ministry through our wives, our children? That's where he's trying to come through. That's a doorway for him. And we can be hard and we can say no as long as we want to. But I say again, they know how to get to us. But why can't I use that gift, if you please, toward the things of God? God said it. Let's not do it. It went on down with Samson. Let's pick up a little of the reading. It went on down with Samson and he met another woman. Things didn't happen just like he had anticipated. Samson get along here and he go to flirting with things, didn't he not? He went to flirting with things. Oh, if you tie me with 7 wicks that never been dry, I'll be just like any other man. Now watch something here. Tied the old boy up and Samson, the Philistines upon thee. He rose up and took the half of the house with him. But watch something. If you did me that way and I'm trusting you and you're doing me wrong, you think I'll be right back there the next night? Samson took half of the house with him. He'd come back again. Oh, I'm strong enough to hold out. Oh, I can just talk play with her a little while. I never tell where my strength lies. Oh, it's no harm to toy with her a little bit. I'm having my fun anyway. Let's pick up some of the reading there now.
And Samson said to her, in yes, line with 7 ring whips mm-hmm. and so on. And Samson, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, which is Judges 16:9.
Okay.
He said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he break the whips with thread of tow and broken when it touched the fire. So
yes,
his strength was not known.
Mm-hmm.
Delilah said to him, Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me.
Now he come back for a second dose. You understand what I'm saying? When we begin to deal with things that don't seem any harm, we better be careful. The first time we allow the devil to work with us in these lines, don't you know he gonna come back and hit on that thing even harder the next time? I told somebody one time, you know, it's hard. We get to teaching the young folks. They like to pull up their sleeves and like to, you know, they get up and want to sing a special. And I said, hey, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Now, what would happen if I get up and roll up my sleeves and preach you a message? Let's just say I roll them up all the way and I stand up in this pulpit and preach a message. Do you think you can receive me? Or you'll spend most of your time looking at me with my sleeve rolled up? You see the difference? Oh, it's no harm. It's a lot of harm. I think it's no harm. It's a lot of harm. This thing, people gave their life for it. And we can't come along and handle it so lightly. God pays us a visit in our services. Oh, we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's move on down a little bit in the reading.
Tell me, I pray thee, where thou mightest be bound.
Uh-huh. All right. Now watch.
Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound it therewith, and said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber.
You notice something? He didn't start at his feet. He started halfway where his red lie, didn't he? He didn't start way down. He started at his hands. And it worked his way on up to his head. You see how that thing worked? From his hands up to his head. Now, he didn't go right into it and say, well, if you cut my hair. But he started plaiting in hair. And then one day, she just told him, oh, Samson, you didn't mock me and you didn't hurt me all these times. You don't love me. Woo-wee. That's where it is, isn't it? Boy, I'll tell you, when they get to talking about you don't love them, you don't love me. Yes, I do. Prove it. You know what I'm talking about? The devil knows how to work with that love thing, don't he? Prove it. All right. You vex me every day. I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
Never before has a razor came upon my head. And if you cut my hair, I'm just as like any other man. And after she had known that he had told his heart.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, look at him. She knew that Samson had told his heart. She went through the same procedure that she had did before. Shaved his head. Samson, the Philistine's boy. Somehow or another, he had gotten so caught up with the no harm thing and the flirting around with the whole deal until now his head is clean, no strength, the Spirit of God had left him, and he jumped up to go out his other time, finding out that he don't have nothing to go out with. Now watch. And we've heard it many times. But it blesses my heart every time I think about this. One of the first things they did to Samson when they caught him. What was that? Why? Didn't want him to see. If he did take off running, he'd know which way to go. They put out his eyes. Do you know spiritually, that's what happened with these no harm things. Do you know people come in our midst today that's been around this gospel for years, that's been brought up in Christian homes, that's been taught the gospel, that's been worked with. And do you know it's hard for them to get a hold of what the Bible is teaching? It's easier to catch somebody off the street and get them saved and tell them, run, brother. Stop, brother. Sit, brother. Stand, brother. He'll go through everything because he's happy.
Yeah.
But our people, you can say, run, brother. Well, I got to run. Sit, brother. I ain't got city. I've been sitting all day. Oh, I wish that preacher. You know they used to preach 3 hours or so? Do you know that? Preacher used to get up and preach 2 or 3 hours. Let me stay up here 3 hours. I know I'm blind, but I won't see nobody. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Something about the love for the gospel that if we're not careful, we'll lose it. We'll lose the very principles that's been handed down to you and I. These no harm things, little bitty things that, oh, you don't have to teach all that. My wife told me one time, and she tried to help me, but she used to tell me, she said, honey, she said, you know what I've often thought? When a speaker is speaking, and long as he got the attention of the people, that's good. But when they start going to sleep, he says, it's time to kind of, you know. I said, are you telling me to shut up? She said, no, I'm trying to tell you kind of be aware. I said, some folks go to sleep because they stayed up all night. And you know that's a battle to your mind sometimes you're trying to preach? You don't hear nobody saying amen. You just say, what happened? Y'all sleeping here? Now, a preacher get up. He preached 15, 20 minutes. 30, he preached an hour. He's pushing it. He's pushing it hard. Do you know what that intended to do? It's designed to muffle us out. Preached a message one time over there. My sister passed away. And one of my sister-in-laws came up. She said to me, she said, the message was good, but you preached too long. See, we used to get a message in 10 minutes. I say, you need to be fed. And that's what's happening in our society today. Do you know? We're losing if we're not careful. We're losing the desire and the love for the preached word. So we'll make the minister. We get quiet. We won't say nothing. You know, when you start saying amen, praise the Lord, you encourage the minister on it. Hello, that's right. When you say, praise the Lord, brother, tell us the truth, brother, that's encouraging that brother on. And sometimes we be acting somewhere in our mind saying, oh, I wish he'd be quiet and sit down. So we don't say anything. And maybe he'll get the message. You know, nobody's saying that. Well, then the devil dealing with his mind, you need to sit down and be quiet. Oh, we ought to have a love for this truth. The old preacher could hardly read, but still what he said, the sinners took heed. Another portion of that song says, through the snow and the rain. Just to go to the house of the Lord, just to sing. Traveling. You think about it. My children right beside us, and we traveling to the house of the Lord. Oh, listen. But today, in our modernistic day, see, you turn the air conditioner off in here right now, you have trouble with us sitting in here through a message. And I often say it, you know, we need to get out in the wooded area sometime. Let's fight the mosquitoes. Let's get out on the street corner somewhere. And let's get away from our sealed buildings and get out and begin to deal. Oh, it's no harm, brother. Don't go to talking like that. The very desire for God, we lose it. We will lose it. But something that my flesh wants, something that my heart desire, I'll go get it and sacrifice whatever I have to get it. It's a difference, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a real difference. Oh, Lord, help us. Little no-harm things. When these things become the set among us and begin to work in our midst, little at a time, and what happens is, we begin to, not looking at it, not paying attention to it, the preacher then begin to not talk about it. And that's what happens. We're swallowed up then. Young preacher I know, in his congregation, he didn't deal with some things that came in. And it overpowered him now. And I heard a statement made the other day. He said, I wished 100 times that I'd have dealt with it when it first came in. Yes. Now it ain't got a foothold. He said, I can't deal with it now. I need some help in dealing with it. No harm things. Little things that comes in. Little things that takes us away from the principle of the gospel. Things that causes you and I. Oh, when it put out our eyes, we don't see it like that anymore. We don't see it like that anymore. When he put out Samson's eyes, the next thing he did was bounding. Bind us up. Took him on down there and put him to work after that grinding. You know, if we don't live for God, we'll sure live for the devil. Oh, God has called us to holiness. And what comes with holiness? Holy. He called us to that. And in our society today, you and I allow those little no-harm things to come. Somebody told me one time, said, Brother, you keep preaching like that, you won't have but a few of y'all in there. Well, the Bible speaks of a few going to heaven anyway. All that shall not be shaken shall remain. Oh, listen, this thing is real to me. When you get to praying for these different ones with cancer and praying and looking to God, for God to deliver and God to help us. We can't go to God half-stepping. We can't go to God when we don't really know what we're talking about and what we... Oh, I appreciate it. My brother was praying last night. Oh, he said, Lord, I present this to you. You are where we have to come to. We're doing what you ask us to do. So we come to you for help. Nowhere else we can go. But I can't come to God when I've done wrong. When I'm just, here I am, I ain't living right. I can't come to the Lord and request something like this. Little no harm thing. We take them little no-harm things into our bosom. Do you know over there it talks about sound doctrine? Let's go over there and find it. Sound doctrine that cannot be condemned. And it goes on in one of the it said, aged women. Let's find it. We need to read that right here.
Titus 2.
Yes.
Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded.
Sober-minded. Somebody said in this meeting, we're living in a world where people don't even hardly grow up anymore. They don't grow up anymore. We got some old children. Old children don't want to face no responsibility, just don't know how to do hardly anything anymore. Be sober-minded. Somebody go over there and get that Ecclesiastes 10 and 1. I want to bring this in with here. About dead flies and the ointment of the apothecary. Send forth a stake and savor. So doeth a little folly. Him that is called a reputation and honor. You think about it. We are called a reputation and honor. We're kings and priests. When we're saved, we're called to a responsible business. We're called to something that God wants to bless us in. And we don't want to come to God trying to offer Him anything dead flies. That's what it is, dead flies. I want the smell in your assembly. I want you to offer me up sweet smellings. I want a holy life. I want you living right. I want you doing right. I want you obeying the word of God. You offer this to me and it's accepted. You work in righteousness. And it's accepted with me. Don't come to me offering me anything. Half-hearted service. Half-disobeying. Don't come to me just offering me anything and expect me to accept that. Dead flies. Dead flies. And when dead fly, I don't like a fly. I don't know about you. I don't believe you like them either. I don't like a fly. Me and the flies at odds. And when they make the ointment and begin to do the rituals and the burials back there, they make the ointments and then they put it in the caves and all about the odors. But if a dead fly is in it, they can use it. They throw it out and they do it again. When you and I come to God in our worship service, when you and I come to God to get His blessing down upon, Lord, we need healing for our sister. Lord, we need healing for our brother. We need deliverance over here. When we call, I want the Lord to say, yes, my servant. I hear you. I'll be right with you. Oh, glory. But here I'm offering God half-hearted service. I'm offering dead flies. And then I want God to move when I call on Him. That's just like asking your wife to cook and you don't give her nothing to cook. I want you to cook what I'm going to cook. Ain't got nothing to cook. Dead flies. No. We don't have to go to that one. But I'm going back to our world and society that need to grow up. We in the church need to grow up. You know that? We in here, we need to grow up. We've been playing games too long. We can hear a message and know we need help to our soul, but yet we won't reach out to get it. And many times, you ask the pastor, how do you see me? Don't ask me that if you don't want me to tell you. How do you see me, brother? Ooh, I don't. You don't have nothing good to say about me. See what I'm talking about? But you know what? We as preachers, we beat around the bush. We don't know how to tell you that you really need help. And we don't know how to tell you, so we're going to kind of ease it in. We're not helping your soul easing it in. Somebody said, well, you need wisdom, brother. Yeah, I think we get too smart. I think we get too smart. We need to come out and face some of these things and quit staying up all night dealing with them and say, hey, well, you need help right here. You get your help here and out there. It'll cause both of us to get some rest. You and me. You understand what I'm talking about? But we try to smooth it in. Do you think I need help, brother? I remember dealing in a meeting in Ohio, and my old brother came down to the altar, and this sister come up, and she was a praying, Lord, I want you to give me strength, and Lord, I want you to help me. Not just talking about it. I'm not critical here, but the thought to here I'm going to bring out. She was saying, Lord, I just need some more strength. And the brother stopped me. He said, you know what you need? You need to drop what you've got and get something. Hello. And when he told her that, she said, thank you. She went to prayer, and we prayed through. We had prayer service at 6 o'clock the next morning. Sister was there at 4. Thing of changing. But we beat around the bush many times. You know, we preachers, we don't want to lose anybody. And we want to just, you know, kind of ease it in. Be careful. Do you know these little things many times we're being careful about? And I'm careful too now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just jumping into something to be jumping in. I try to be very careful. But there's a point in place and time that we have to be fair with the souls that we do. And when we're not fair and honest with them, we're hurting them. The Lord help us here. Oh, we're in a place where we need to grow up, folks. Notice what it said here. Read on, brother, for me, please.
Speak thou the
things that become sound, without flaw, without fault, sound doctrine. Read.
Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded.
Young men, listen.
Thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorrupted.
Hold it. Let's take it easy through here a little bit. Showing thyself a pattern of good work. You know the scripture said, study to show thyself approved. Unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. We're in a society, folks don't know how to read their Bible anymore. They expect the preacher to tell them, and then they don't do it after the preacher tells them. Oh, I long to see our young men really get down to business with God, really spend some time with God, really get over in the corner somewhere and get God blessings upon them. I long to see it. We come in hitting and missing. Oh, God, help us here. I got a burden on my heart. I got a burden on my heart for the work of God. And us as the people of God. All through the scriptures, we read how God dealt with the children of Israel. They just rebelled and they did everything. They fall back in the same old slop again. But notice, young men, read on now, watch.
Showing thyself a pattern of good works.
Yes.
Doctrine, showing uncorruptness.
Gravity.
Sincerity.
But you know something? We're missing something now. How much sincerity is that you really see? The Lord help us here. A soul is sincere about God. I'll tell you, he'll wear you out. A soul is sincere. Oh, God, help us. All right, read. Notice.
Sound speech.
Sound speech.
That cannot be condemned.
Look. Sound speech that cannot be condemned.
That he that is of the contrary part.
That he that is of the contrary part.
May be ashamed.
May be ashamed.
Having no evil thing to say.
Can't say nothing about him. He loved God. He's sincere about what he's doing. How do you know? I see it. I see what he's doing. All right, you got some more there?
It goes on speaking about the servants.
All right, another section over there talking about eight women.
Third one.
All right.
The aged men be sober, brave,
gentle. Now, wait. Aged men be sober. You know, we got a lot of foolishness in our society. All gray foolishness. Y'all getting quiet on me now? Young fellow asleep on me? All right, stay with me. Stay with me then. The bell ain't rung yet. Stay right with me. We are in a society, and you know it, every time you turn on the radio, it's foolishness. We need to do something that's pleasing to God. We need to be consistent. We need to be sober. We need to be sound. And we need to be solid. If we're going to trust God, let's trust God. Huh? Let's not be wishy-washy. Today, I don't know. And tomorrow, I think I will. Maybe I should. Let's get on solid ground and say, let's go for it. Old Brother Herschel, I tell you, I'll never forget him. When he come down time to die, Brother Ed was around there, maybe. I don't know if he was there when I was there a week before. But Brother Herschel said, this gospel is good to live by, it's good to die by. Huh? And they told me Brother Herschel going out, he was waving at him. Glory, hallelujah. You waving at folks and you dying? That's not human. No, that's spiritual. Some folks, you got to time down to die almost. I don't want to die. I'm afraid to die. Come on. We can live a life so consistent that when souls look on us and say, he loved his God. God, his God. Oh, I thought about when I read some of the books, the little books that I did read, I thought about how when some of those folks were getting their heads cut off, the man getting ready to cut his head off, he looked and said, oh, wait a minute, this must be a right God here. Y'all cut mine off too, because I want to believe. He laid there and they cut his off too. Ruth said, your God will be my God. Your God. It's my God. Where you live, I'll live. Where you go, I'll go. Ooh. Never before Jesus had said, I've never seen so great a faith. No, not neither. He said, I tell one man to come, he come. Tell one to go, he go. Nothing to do, he do it. Jesus had to marvel. My people is a different people, seem like. I tell one to go. He got to wait a while. Got to retire. Got to do all this. Got to get everything in line. I tell another one to stay. He wants to go. Oh, we got all our seem like our prizes messed up. Lord help us. Our priorities. What are we living for anyway? What are we really living for? To make a big name for ourselves? They might not never put your name on the street, Lewis Kimball Boulevard. I ain't looking for that. I'm not looking for, you know, you're going to go down there and turn left on Lewis Kimball Boulevard and you're going, no. But I want to leave back with my children that I please God. Yes. Above everything, I please the Lord. That's more valuable to me than anything else. He pleased God. No more harm things. You know, we can let these things get in and cause us problems. Aged women. Let's read a little bit more here. You bear with me here a little bit.
The aged women likewise, yes, may be in behavior as becometh holiness.
Do you know, when you look at my wife, you're looking at me? Even though we might try to separate it, but that's her. I don't know, but you're looking at me. Because what she do can tear me down. You're pretty quiet now. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's true. That puts a responsibility. My son told me one time, said, Daddy, I didn't ask for this. You did. I said, son, I understand that. I said it puts a greater responsibility on a preacher's family when he starts ministering the gospel. As much as you lie within you, I realize you're not saved, but as much lies within you, don't do anything to embarrass your dad or to hurt the cause of God. When you take my car Don't park it where I wouldn't go. The things you know I don't do in my car, don't you do it. Is that too much to ask? Aged women, aged men, we need to be more sober. Read on.
If in behaviors becometh holiness,
yes.
Not false accusers,
yes.
Not given to much wine, teachers of good things.
You know, telephones are good, isn't it? You agree? A communication line, you know? Telephones are real good. But they can also be a bad place. We can just talk about things that don't need talking about. I see folks sometimes get on old thing and talk all day and don't say Jesus not one time. Notice, we need to be more sober-minded. Oh, it's no harm, though. It's a lot of harm when you begin to talk about things that you ought not. Deal with issues that you shouldn't be dealing with. And all bit praying and looking to God. Need to be careful. Read, brother, a little more here.
That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands.
Wait a minute.
To love their children.
Hold it right there. You know what I'm facing today, and you are too. Our young folks are losing the very teachings of what the elders are supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Do you know how often we have sisters meeting at a camp meeting or something? But oh, I'm longing, and I'm dealing with the sisters in our congregation. I want you to begin to teach these young sisters. Teach them. I'm not no preacher, and they ain't going to do what I say. Listen, it's not what you say, but it's what the God, Word of God says. You get into that Bible and you get some demand, some respect because you love God and because God has blessed you and anointed what you got to say. It'll gain you respect. Don't just fall in some kind of stupor we all fall in and say, well, they won't listen, so I'm not going to even try. It still remains, older teach the younger. Teach the younger to love their husbands. Do you know we're dealing with high rate in divorces now and it even coming right into the church? One brother asked me, he said, how do you see divorce? No, how do you mean how do I see it? What the Bible says about it? That's how I see it. Ain't no compromising with it. Had a sister here in Yes, Mississippi, you got delivered again. Oh, thank God. She went down and I married them. See, I married a couple. And, she went down and paid somebody to lie on her husband and she got a divorce. And when she got the divorce, the Lord started dealing with her. Well, the husband didn't even know he had divorce until a few days after that, here come the paper to deliver him the divorce. He called me. He said, okay. Well, I knew the divorce was coming before he did. But when he got the papers, I got to talking with him. And he said, she needs salvation bad. I said, that's right. So we all got an agreement of prayer with the fasting and praying and looking to the Lord. Oh, in the Lord. But just before she got saved, she sent word to me. And she said, you tell Uncle Lewis, I want him to marry me again. And I sent word back and said, you tell Uncle Lewis said no. I said, what? I said, no, let her go back down there where them folks unhooked her and hook her back. I hooked you up, and it was right. They unhooked you, let them hook you back. All the lies you told, go back down there and straighten them out. Amen. You might not agree with that, but that's what the Lord dealt my heart with now. I got to face that at the judgment. But I'm going to tell you something, what that did, that brought a soberness to her. She got saved in that tent meeting, got delivered, and she went back and made all them wrongs right. Now, if you want me to put my blessings upon you. Glory. Glory. women. Teach the younger. And I believe, I've been telling souls that have been working with us, this is what you need to start doing. Oh, you've got something you can offer. You feel the Lord is blessing you and calling you, and you're an older woman, and you can teach. You've got some young folks that don't need to even know how to do good house cleaning. Hello, folks. You might disagree with this, but look back and check it out yourself. All right. We got some of these young folks keep such junky rooms. And if we don't teach them how to clean that junk up, they're going to go right into a marriage with that junk. Right on into a marriage. Junk. Age. Women. Let's read a little bit more. In our closing. Somebody said, not closing arguments.
To be discreet.
To be discreet.
Chase.
Keepers
at home.
Now, do the Bible say that? You can't come in here and tell me to clean my house. It said, teach you to be keepers at home.
Yeah, that's right.
The Bible say that.
Yes, it does.
You know, they got a lot of women busybodying in other people's matters. Need to be home doing their homework. We don't hear this preached a lot, do we? No, we don't. We don't hear this preached a lot. But it's truth. It's in there. We need to preach it. Well, you hard on them children. Hard on them? If you don't train our children today, we're living in a fast time. Everything is push a button and it's microwave age. We don't even know how to cook a good meal. You know, I'm training the young sisters in our congregation how to cook. Amen. I'm blind, but I still know how to cook. Praise the Lord. A little bit anyway. I get called, Unc, how you do this? Okay, you do it this way. You get you some onions and you fry them. You know? Oh, how did it taste? How did it come out? It came out good. Oh, I learned that. What else can you teach me? Aged women, we should be able to teach these things. Every time you look around, there's churches and Popeye's chicken. I'm tired of Popeye's. I'm tired of Popeye's. Didn't your mama tell you how to cook? Can't you make some biscuits? Cornbread? You know? Make a good old-fashioned little meal. We can sit down as a family and eat. But every time you look around, there's churches and Popeye. McDonald's. I don't want no more McDonald's. I want a little meal made by my sweetheart. Honey, I just want you to make me a little meal. I remember one time they said, Brother Chandler, came home, Sister Chandler said she was crying hard. They only had one roast and she burnt that roast. Burnt it. Brother Chandler, I never met the man, but I tell me the man had wisdom. But he said Brother Chandler came in and he got everybody around the table, gave thanks, and he sliced the burnt roast. Sliced the burnt roast? And they all gave thanks? And he told her, he said, honey, I'm glad you was here to burn it. Woo! That made her day.
Yeah.
You know, the wives we do have that can cook and make meals right, we come in and we don't even appreciate it. We don't know how to preach. Everything got to be, my toast ain't in the right spot. My fork's supposed to be on the left side. My spoon's supposed to be here. See how we are? My son come in the house one time. My wife had burnt the rice. And we were all eating. And he said, Ma, you're not burning. I said, hold it. You don't come in my house and tell my wife about her burnt rice. Tears were running down her face. And she said to me, even though it was burnt, she said, honey, how is it? I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That got me off that one. All right? But here's what I'm saying. They are tender. And just as we're teaching our children, as husband and wife, we need to let them see how we react and how we behave. And what they see, we're teaching them. Sometimes somebody says, well, just take the Bible and... No. I believe the Bible, when it's talking about teaching, is that you and I live a life and show them.
Yeah.
I can show you something, but not tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I can show you how to live this thing.
Right.
See, I told the brother, I say, now, I'm going to show you how to love your wife. Somebody said, you're spoiling. Yes, I'm going to spoil. She's spoiling me too. But I'm going to show you how to love your wife. Challenge you. Kind words. Let my children know how dad loves mom. Somebody said, oh, you're too old to be walking down the street holding hands. That's your theory. That's your theory. It's too many husbands walking ahead of their wives now. Come on, baby, come on. She got one in this arm, one in this, and two kicking. Come on. And he hollered, come on, he walking with his Bible. Stop! Go back and help her. See what I'm talking about, folks? Teach them. Show them how to do it. And then, at a later date, we don't have to worry about these. Let them know hard things. I believe in our society today, when problems arise, first thing we holler, come on home, baby. You don't have to stay in that situation. Come on home.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yes, it is. My father-in-law, he didn't gone now. But when my wife and I had a misunderstanding, he never would step foot in my house. But he would call me out and he said, son-in-law, are you going to hurt him? I said, no, sir. He said, well, y'all have a good day. He drive on out. Because y'all have a good day. He didn't interfere. The main thing he would tell me, if you figure that you're going to hurt a foot in a cab, let her come to me. I don't want you to hurt. But I have nothing to say. But you know, it's too many of us getting involved. We're getting involved. And really, some of our children are handling the situation because they saw us handling that way. If I don't have a settled spirit, if I don't have a spirit to settle down and let God bless me in the hard time, in the battle, whatever manifests out of there is what my children are going to see and pick up. Lord help us. Aged women, aged men, be sober. Let's teach our children. Let's ask God to bless us. If our children see us come to a service here in this like this, and they know our attitudes at home, they know how we've been dealing and how we hadn't had patience and how we've done things out of the order, and if they don't see us, when the word comes out and they don't see us come to an altar to get help for those things, what we're teaching them is when you got a problem like this, you just stay at home with it. Don't you go to the altar either. That's what we're training them. And then we wonder when they get up and we say, well, why my daughter and my son is not responding? Because you didn't respond. You have taught them to be hard-hearted. And that responsibility lies on our shoulders. May God bless you this morning.
Brother Kimball, may I read the very last?
Go right ahead.
That scripture. That the word of God be not blasphemed.
That the word of God. That's a reason for all of this. God gave these instructions that you and I can win souls. Now you're talking about he that winneth souls is wise. Here's wisdom. When you and I come up under the sound of the gospel, keep in mind, the things what you and I are doing, we're training our children.